friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
What? Well, hi, everybody.
Hi.
I am excited to talk about this movie, Past Lives.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was
a goodie. Good. I think we chose it because it got, like, I don't know, over 90% Rotten Tomatoes. That's what I do. I look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I look for A24 films because they are always good. And this was both.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a beautiful film, just so sweet and romantic, and I don't know.
A good one to watch. This was an indie film written and directed by Celine Song, and it was her debut film, which is a big deal because it went on to be nominated for Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay by the Academy Awards, which is remarkable for, especially for a debut writer. Director. Kudos to Celine Song. I kind of want to look her up and see what else she's done because that's how good this was. Yes. I loved how language, and we'll get into this probably more as we talk about it, but language is being used as like an emotional device. So they speak in Korean and there's English subtitles, and then they also speak in English. And when the main character is speaking in English, she is intellectual, she is composed, but while she speaks in Korean, she's softer and just kind of more instinctual. So It's really cool to see that. And I loved the main premise of the movie. And to kind of understand as we're talking about things, it's Inyeon, I-N-Y-U-N, if you want to look it up. And it is what Koreans believe are the connections formed over 8,000 lifetimes. So if you have connected with somebody over that many lifetimes, like you're kind of soulmates, is kind of the belief, or at least that's what I picked up for it. But this is also just a metaphor for whether we are cosmically destined or we romanticize coincidence. And that's kind of like the push-pull theme of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Main characters, Nora is played by Greta Lee. She's a Southern Korean girl who immigrates to Canada, then later moves to New York to pursue education and a writing career. Mm-hmm. Haesung is played by Taeyoo.
T-E-O-Y-O-O. And I apologize.
Taeyoo.
Don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
Taeyoo.
Okay. He did very good.
Yes. He's Nora's childhood friend who stays in Southern Korea to live a normal life. Mm-hmm. Author is played by John
Magaro. It's Italian, I think.
I love how you twirl your R's.
How'd
you
do that? No, I didn't.
Magaro.
It was a Villa Gregorangi. I don't know.
You did that better than me.
I gave it a J, a soft G.
Have you taken a foreign language before? Is that why you're so good?
Just make it up.
Really good though at doing that.
I listened to enough audiobooks that are written like from other, you know what I mean?
Well, I know I do that too. Like if you're listening to an audiobook that's from England, they have like an English accent.
And then I start talking in an English accent and drive everyone around me crazy.
Me too, but I don't do a good job of it. It's more the voice in my head.
No, I'm all speaking a Russian accent for weeks. And I'm just
I know you did. Remember when we did Dime a Die?
Oh,
you
were
really good at doing a Russian accent.
Now, it's terrible. And I know it's like cultural appropriation. And I apologize, but it's just my ADD brain. It just happens. Sorry.
Yes. Well, okay.
But Arthur.
So Arthur is from New York. And he is also a writer who eventually marries Nora.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So the premise of the movie, and like, this is a what would you do? Something to think about as we're kind of going through and discussing the movie. So what if you believed in soulmates, but wonder if you married the wrong one when your childhood love comes back into your life? So like this movie, I absolutely loved how it started.
Yes.
Because it felt so like I've done that. I've been that couple that's sitting there and looked across and be like, who do you think those people are to each other?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think's going on over there?
Yeah. Who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
If there's like an interesting sort of combination of people, mm-hmm. it's fun to, like, you know, come up with stories as to who they are and what they're doing. And
what movie was it with Steve Carell and Julianne Moore?
We reviewed it.
And that's how it started out too. They're sitting at across the table
what
from
the
each
heck?
Other.
Why can't I remember that?
And it's, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, such a good movie. And I can't remember the name. But that same thing.
And
we're sitting across there and, like, making guesses about all the people around them.
Yes, we reviewed it at one time.
Yes. Oh, it was about a year ago or so. But such a good movie. But yeah, I love that. And I think a lot of people do that. And it felt so like, oh, yeah, I've totally done that before.
Yeah.
And you do. You sit there and wonder, like, what is going on? Because you've got this, like, a beautiful girl sitting between two men. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they're all, like, they're with each other.
Yeah.
And she's, like, intensely talking to one, while the other one kind of looks sullen.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of quietly listening next to
her. And her back is slightly turned toward him.
Yes.
Towards him.
Yes.
But she's facing Hae-sung.
Yes.
Mean, no. What? Did I said that wrong?
No, you said it right. Hae-sung.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hae-sung.
Yes. So you know something's, you don't quite know what's going on, but you know something's going on.
And
you're,
it's
like,
a fairly emotional.
Yeah.
They're kind of, and not like crying, but they're, you know,
it's intense.
Very intense. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And so fun fact is this movie for Cillian Song was somewhat autobiographical. Okay. She experienced this very same thing. She emigrated,
I did not know that,
from Korea to Canada and then to New York. And childhood best friend, husband, same scenario, sitting there at the bar. So she knows what it's like to be in Nora's shoes.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. And it probably gave this movie so much more depth.
Yeah. I loved how you were saying that we were talking about how comfortable her relationship with Hae-sung is. You know, they just seem to be comfortable together. They kind of, like, belong together. I mean, she's comfortable with Arthur too, but it's a different relationship.
Yeah.
And you said she's a little
the way
more
they interact with me. She's witty with Arthur. Yeah. She's snarky. I love that they will talk about some really in-depth things and, like, intellectual things. And you don't see her do that with any of the other characters.
Yeah.
Definitely is different with her mom, her sister, Hae-sung.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's because it's her native language, and so when she's talking to Hae-sung, that also adds a component of being more comfortable, like at ease, more in her own skin.
Yeah,
she's not, you know, with Arthur, she is the same way, but it's just a little more edgy-ish, I guess.
I also think language as a device, like, I was listening to some TED Talk forever and ever and ever ago, like 10 years ago, and the topic was something to do with, like, different languages and the emotions that are tied to those languages. Like, you've got your romance languages, and you've got your Germanic languages, and you've got all sorts of, I don't know, they just add different layers of emotion because, like, for instance, in Japan, they actually have a lot more words to convey different emotions than the English language does. And in that talk, they were talking about, well, this language is like nostalgia for something you've never had, which is like, we don't even have a word to define that in English.
Yeah.
And so just depending on what language you know, like, you're going to be able to express emotions differently because of that. So I don't know if Korea has a lot more, you know, emotive type.
Probably, you know, I would suspect.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool how language, I think, can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this movie starts with Hae-sung and Nora, but her name is Nora when she changes it to a more English or American name, which is Nora. But when she was young, it's Na Young.
And it's such a short period of time that she is young.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, like, immediately see this dynamic between the two. Were they holding hands as they were walking home? Were they
really
comfortable with each other?
Nora's mother kind of sets up a play date. And,
oh my goodness.
I think that Hae-sung kind of believes that this is, like, who he's supposed to be with now.
But that play date happens, and I think she knew they were going to be leaving Korea.
Yeah, I think she did too. I don't know why she did that.
I think her mom She's like, oh, we're going to be leaving. If you want to close anything up, like, are there any boys you like? And she's like, well, yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And
yes.
So then she's like, oh, you know, you like him. Why don't, would you like to go on a date with him?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah. Yes, the moms get together. And it's like a play date.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they're sitting on the side while they're just like hanging out and talking.
Yeah. And the two are so cute. They're kind of playing on this sculpture that has like little square holes in it, and they're kind of putting their faces to do it, looking at each other and
just being just sweet kids.
Yeah,
that was probably my favorite interaction of the whole movie, maybe. But like the daughter, the mom, just say like being comfortable talking about that. I just remember my 12-year-old self, like I got my foot cut, some broken glass that didn't get like cleaned up, and I stepped on it, so the bottom of my foot got cut, and it was like fifth grade was ending, and then I went to this weird school where everyone was going to be going their separate ways, and I wasn't going to see a lot of the kids. And I had this huge crush on a boy, and it was Memorial Day. I had to go into the emergency room because everything was closed, and guess who stitched me up? His dad.
What?
My crush's dad. And I remember my mom like, well, I think, you know, our kids go to school together. And like being a normal mom, like she wasn't saying anything awful. And I'm like just bright red, like, stop talking. Stop talking. I'm going to die right now. Like, don't say anything. So I don't know if my mom knew that I liked his son, but I did. I was like obsessed. And I don't remember being able to have, like, I was like so mortified that somebody was going to let it slip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, and so I love
giving your mom the eye, like, don't.
I was
don't
like,
say anything. It. Just, okay. Yeah. We do. Yep. I do know him. That's it. Yeah. That's enough, mother.
Yeah. I survived it, but barely. I just love that they had that conversation.
Yes, and they're so sweet because they're young and they're innocent, and they're just kind of it. You know, when you're that age, sexuality is not even a piece of it. They're just looking at each other as far as, I like you. You know, you're a nice person, and I like your energy, and I like hanging out with you. And they start walking home from school together as well. And
they're kind of competitive about it. Like, like she was a crybaby. Like she was upset that he beat her like at some like intellectual game.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he was like trying to comfort her. Like, well, but you usually beat me.
Yeah. But
like, they were just so sweet.
Yeah.
And but let me, when I was in fifth grade, I was like, I want to kiss Jesse.
Yeah. But it was like that. I'm sure it was not. I mean, they may have even thought about kissing each other too, but it wasn't like that.
No.
French kissing or, you know, or you were thinking of French kissing.
No.
But it's what you see in the romance movies. Yes. No. That,
like, this is just a sweet like connection.
Yes.
For sure.
And then unfortunately,
well, they immigrate.
And
it's quite abrupt.
Yeah, not young. They're like,
he barely gets to say I guess you're leaving goodbye. And you can tell to him it felt very unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward. And I love what you said, like about walking home and her saying that she was going to win the Nobel Prize someday. Like, she was very competitive. Like, she was really like bummed that she got beat out. And she wanted to immigrate. She was really looking forward to, you know, the growth and potential she might experience in another country. So for her, it was an exciting thing. She wasn't sad at all about it.
Yeah.
But for Haesung, I think he was really sad to see her go.
Yes. So. Yes, he was. I mean, isn't that true? Like with anything, sometimes like the person that's going on the adventure is excited. The person left behind is sort of left with memories and sort of an unfinished sort of
I think some business. People are just really content being homebodies.
Me.
Like the idea
I'm
of
totally
moving
okay
on
just staying here forever.
Yeah.
Like I you know, just the idea of selling my house or I don't know. That
it's scary.
It is.
Some people love the adventure or the potential the
some
unknown.
People could move like 20,000 times.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm done
Everyone's
with that
different.
House. I'm going to do
so
a new one.
I think Nora was maybe more like that person. And Haesung was more of like, I'm comfortable here.
Yes.
I don't need more.
Yes. And he asks her like the next two times that they are kind of connecting.
Yeah, so 12 years later, like fast forward, she's in New York City. So she's gone from Canada to New York City.
So when they're young, that's 1999. Mm-hmm. And then she's doing her thing in New York. She's like a...
She's a student.
Well, I think then she's a budding literary star in New York. And she's kind of working on some plays or stuff like that. She's up and coming.
Yeah.
And they
reconnect through social media.
Yeah.
And the details I don't think matter too much.
He kind of was left.
He was looking for
finished.
Yeah.
Yes. I think he felt like he needed to resolve, where is she? What is she doing? Like, I have this image of her walking away from me up the stairs. But you know, at the end of the school day, we were walking home. She leaves. I don't see her again. So he was kind of trying to, through social media, find her. And she sees that he was trying to look for her. So she connects with him. But they have a relationship simply over Skype.
Or Zoom or whatever it was. And they do want to try to meet. She's like, well, when can you come to New York? And he's like, well, I'm going down to China. I'm on this language exchange program.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I thought she was in grad school, but I could be, I don't know the circumstances why she couldn't leave New York.
Well, I think because she just had all these things. Like, she had potential to do like all this. There were things that were happening for her, just beginning to happen.
That she didn't want to let that rolling ball stop because it could stop.
Yeah.
So she decides. But
I want to say this too. Every time they're together, I just love you can see when they're talking on Skype. It's like they're so happy. Like this is a period of time where they're so happy. They can't wait to get online and talk and they'll talk forever. And they just seem...
Even though it's like, I don't know how many hours time difference, they figure out how to...
Yeah, like, he's like, what time is it there? She's like, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
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 And so it is sad when they finally, I think she kind of makes the call. She's like,
you know, I've got things to do and this is kind of holding me back and we need to stop talking for a while.
Yeah.
And it's like, it kind of just as abrupt as the first time she left his life.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so he's left.
Goodbye. Yeah. Just a goodbye and nothing more. And like, okay.
Yeah. He's left kind of feeling,
he changed her name. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was kind of remarkable that he was able to reconnect and find her again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he felt like there was really something to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, it was happening for sure. But then I love the next scene. She goes to a writer's retreat. And at the writer's retreat, she meets another writer there, Arthur. And at night, the two of them are just, you know, late talking to each other. And she explains to him about Inyeon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like it's a romantic little setting. They've got like the little lights above and it's like there's a beautiful tree they're sitting under.
Well, I feel like that whole scene or the whole
that
time
experience.
That she's at the retreat, it's like beautiful. They're in this like,
it's relaxed.
The house is, I'm like, who owns that house?
And who are the,
like, you didn't quite even understand.
There are writer retreat places like that exist.
People just walk in. It's just open.
Well, no,
people.
They have like workshop kind of things. You can go to a retreat or you, as a writer, you can go to a place to just get away from everything and be able to focus and write.
Well, I know, but what I meant was like, who made the coffee in the morning? Who was making the food?
Whoever was running this retreat.
Yeah, probably. I wanted to see who that was.
You wanted to know how this was working?
How were the... who was making all that wonderful stuff happen? Because
they're paying to be there.
Then they had like these amazing dinners outside. Yeah. There's bistro lights and there's candles. Good food and wine. And they're talking about their... writing.
And they're both writers, which I mean, that's such a huge common thing to have. Like, how attractive would that be to one person?
Yeah.
To be like, oh, you really are like excited about writing too. Like, that's a big deal because that's kind of a unique niche.
Yeah.
And what goes into writing? Like, that's a lot of your heart and soul. And when you're collaborating with another writer or sharing kind of your stories, like that's huge emotional connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they were just kind of primed, I think, for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she was kind of in an emotional state too.
Yeah.
And then here comes this man and they have this connection and that felt right too.
It did. And so she explains to him what Inyan is.
Yeah.
And I love this. He's like, well, do you believe in an Inyan? And she's like, no, that's just something we say to seduce someone. And you're like, oh, it's she's into it. And it doesn't really need to go any further than that. Like, I think this is the only time there's any kissing in the whole movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else, but it was like really cute and sweet. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you could tell like sparks were flying.
Yeah.
And then fast forward
another, and then 12 years. Think, yeah, it's present.
And now we're at present day, 2023. And she is just bustling around New York City. Mm-hmm. And who does she run into? His son.
Oh, I thought he...
He kind of came there and like sought her out.
Well, but she knew he was coming. Because mm-hmm. remember, Arthur's like, I'm going to be okay with you going and...
Yeah.
I mean, this is somebody...
In chance, like meeting. Okay.
Yeah.
I made it sound way too cosmic.
Oh, I was like, she just wasn't walking down New York and left into him.
I believe in the cosmos. The odds of
millions
of people in New York that you're ever going to run into the same person twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Arthur was a little apprehensive about her doing it, but you gotta.
She's like,
what
is?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing between us. We're just.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. But yes, he's definitely nervous about it.
Yes.
He's like, well, you guys had a connection as kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get it, Arthur.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially because I think when so much of who Nora is something that he can't relate to or mm-hmm. understand, there's this unknowable side to her.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
different culture, different background, mm-hmm. different language. He loves her nonetheless. Yeah. She absolutely loves everything about her, but that's just something that he can't connect with her in the same way that he connect with her with writing.
I mean, so, I think about it even like my childhood friends that I've had, you know, since junior high. I mean, we still get together and like it feels like nope, time has passed. We can talk. I mean, there's still, I don't feel like when we do get together, there's enough time. Mm-hmm.
That's a connection you have with them that you will never have with anyone else.
Yeah, because
going through those formative years together mm-hmm. and the odd teenage.
You think about it.
Hae-sung
knew Nora, you know, before.
When she was a crybaby.
When she was, when they did live in Korea, when mm-hmm. she was. Before she's who she is now.
Right.
And a lot, you know, sometimes when you are. When you meet people later in life, they don't know you previous. So Arthur didn't know her as a young girl living in Korea or a budding. I guess he did meet her shortly after they had. So he kind of knew her then. And
when her 2011. Career was starting and growing, they knew each other for a long time.
Yeah.
But still, like, there's just things that you'll never know. Like, I love hearing stories of like Brad's childhood.
Yeah.
But I also wonder at the same time, because I think back to all the boys I knew growing up and I'd be like, that's so gross. I can't ever imagine like being attracted to any one of them now.
Yeah.
Like, just because I knew them like to like a brother almost, you know?
Yeah.
And I always wonder like if I knew my husband back then, would I have been attracted to him later on?
I don't know, because we have met people who have known each other for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Who are married.
Yes, I do. I know several people. I don't know. I don't know. I'll never know. But
So they
spend time together.
She shows in like New York City. Yes. They go to
State Building.
Yeah, they're on a boat on the entire state empire. The entire state building.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. No.
They didn't do just one.
No, not the empire. The Statue of Liberty.
There you go. They go to Staten Island. They take the little ferry and they just do like New York things.
Yes.
I imagine they get a hot dog, right?
You have to, and a bag of nuts.
Right. So they just do all the things.
Get it? Hot dog and a bag of nuts. Okay.
When you go to New York City, one must have a 12-inch long hot dog. And a bag of nuts.
With relish. So. I'm spicy tonight.
Very spicy.
But and then he asked her again, because he asked her like in 2011 also. He's like,
yeah,
what do you want to win? Because he knows that she's...
Yeah, she was supposed to get the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, she is driven and yes. that she has these things that she wants to accomplish. So he's like, okay, so when you were young, you wanted to, you know, win
the Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize, yeah. The Nobel Prize. And then the second time in 2011, she said the Pulitzer.
Yeah.
And then the last one, he's like, what do you want to win now? She's like, the Tony.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that...
All within her grasp, though. Like, she's a playwright at that point mm-hmm. in her career. Yeah. And she's got a play coming out and they're getting ready to, I know, choose actors or something. She's involved in that part.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think that this is sort of why they kind of can't be together.
Yes.
Is because she's always sort of pushing forward and wanting things that maybe he's, like you said, maybe he's sort of maybe like comfortable where he's at. He lives with his parents and he even says his girlfriend isn't, like, he's not good enough for his girlfriend, you know, because, yeah. you know, that made me sad because I thought
he's like, I'm just normal. I just do normal things.
He has so much to offer. He was just such a sweet human and had like a nice outlook on life and just was.
And he had a good group of friends.
Yes,
you know, I thought they were cute together, too.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I thought he had a lot to offer. So that was sad for me when he was saying that about himself.
But he also wasn't reaching for the stars, like. Mm. Nor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe he felt like he wasn't a big enough reach for her.
Yeah. It was almost like I have to let you go experience life the way, you know, and because you have that drive, you are where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of had to leave.
Yeah.
You kind of had to leave Korea and
it wasn't big enough.
This. Yeah. It wasn't big
pretty
enough.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they enjoy this time together. They come back. She introduces him to Arthur, her husband. Mm-hmm. He asks them about her day. And, you know, she gives him the lowdown. And he's like, I've never been to the Statue of Liberty. And she's like, you've lived here your whole life and you've never been to the Statue of Liberty. And I was just like, he was kind of feeling a little, I think, left out, jealous, maybe, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I mean, isn't that so funny that we do that? Like, we always have to go look elsewhere when, like, amazing things are right here at home and we don't do that.
We do that.
Well,
I mean, you know, sometimes I only go do the, like, touristy things when I have family here or when friends come to visit.
Right. Let's Otherwise, you're just living life.
Yeah, let's go. I don't know. What do people do here that we don't do?
I don't know. I do everything.
I mean, let's go.
Yeah, like to go ski or go
on
the lake. I don't know. What do we do here? We enjoy outside.
Yeah.
But I think, though, like, I mean, how long did it take for me? I've lived here for like 15 years to go to like Glacier National Park, 3 hours away.
Oh,
and it's absolutely beautiful. And it took me forever to get there.
Yeah.
Like just like things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good example.
That would be an example. Yeah. Why don't we enjoy what's right here? And we think we need to go look elsewhere.
Yeah.
But they enjoy. Yeah. They had a great time. She invites him to dinner.
Yeah.
I think
I think Arthur is so cute because he has learned Korean. And when Hae-sung comes in, he's
really
very polite and he talks to him in Korean. And Hae-sung says, he speaks very well. You do a good job.
I thought it was really sweet. Yeah. I mean, Arthur, like, he didn't speak fluently, but he knew some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I feel like it was the night before he knew that Hae-sung was coming and she was dreaming. And when she dreams at night, like, she's a sleep talker. But when she talks in Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what did he say to her? You speak or you dream in a language I can't understand.
Yeah. That was your favorite line.
That was my absolute favorite line. Yeah. Because I just feel like there's so much about your partner that's kind of unknowable.
Yeah.
And that just really was such a I want to say pungent, a pungent way.
Woo! Yes.
To say that. It was on point.
It was so pungent.
There's a better word for that, but it's not pungent. If you're listening, you're like, oh, girl, definitely not pungent.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Yes. So they get back. They're like, let's go to dinner.
Yeah.
And so this is where the movie kind of bookends a little bit. Because you knew at the beginning, like, those people observing them, it's going to come back and we're finally going to understand who they are to each other.
Yeah.
So I loved that the movie gave us this like question of like, yeah, what is going on between them? Because it was such a normal everyday scene, but yet, oh, secretive. Like there was just so many things hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
Yes. You wanted to know and understand us. So, yeah, you definitely can see like why she has her back turned to Arthur and they're speaking in Korean. And you can tell Arthur's really trying to listen. And I think he's picking up on a lot of what they're saying.
Yeah.
But not everything.
Yeah.
But I think he does understand when they're speaking about In-young.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows like, and I think he understands he came back for my wife.
Yeah.
And yet.
In whatever context that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't even know if Hae-sung knew why. He just needed to close.
He needed closure,
whatever that meant. Whether he was going to stay in New York with Nora or whether Nora was going to go back with him or they were going to continue something. I don't know if he knew. He just needed to have that connection with her again.
Yeah.
And Arthur knows that.
Yeah. He understood.
Yeah.
And he was like a good enough man, I think, to say, I get it.
He wasn't rude.
No.
You know, he wasn't a jerk. He just was, I think, kind of nervous, like you said, and just trying to be as supportive of Nora as he possibly could, given the circumstances.
And then the way that the movie ends, and the thing is, we don't like to give spoilers, but this movie ends with a cliffhanger.
It does. Yeah.
And I thought the ending was so beautifully done.
It was.
Because, you know, they get back from the restaurant and he goes to, they're waiting for the Uber. She walks with him, you know, Hae-sung to wait for his Uber. And I think you wrote it down. And I think this was your favorite line.
Yeah. Hae-sung says, "What if this is a past life as well? And we are already something else to each other in our next life. Who do you think we are then?"
Yeah. I'm not going to say what she says, but there's a long period of silence and he leaves and she's wrecked.
Yeah, I know. It just killed me because the scene is they're
so
standing,
much.
Looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I just wanted them to hug. I wanted that physical connection between them.
It was,
but
it
they
was so
were,
comfortable.
They, yes, right? But they couldn't do it. You know, there was something that was
there's
not
so
letting
much
them connect that way. But you could feel the energy. It was there that you, they just, but they didn't. Then the Uber shows up. He gets in the car. She sees him leave. She turns around to walk back and she just breaks down crying. And it's
in Arthur's arms.
Yeah.
And he just holds her and he gets it.
Yeah.
Because she, I mean, you're crying for everything.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a loss of your, you know.
It's a lot of loss. It's the what ifs.
The what ifs.
Yeah.
And I mean, she just, and there was something about Hae-sung that was so sort of fragile and tender. And I think that she, and a longing. And there was so much in him that she like loved and loved that about him and wished that maybe she could.
Yeah. So my question is then, because I wondered, is she in love with him or the nostalgia that he represents?
I think both.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad way to answer a question.
I think both. I mean, yeah, you can. It can be both.
I mean, I think there's something in him, like I said, there's something fragile in him that she loved and wanted to connect with him and be there for him because of that. But their life is such that she can't. She's doing her thing and she's got to let him go and do go back to Korea and do this thing.
I just think nostalgia is a hard thing to compete with.
It is. Yes.
And it's hard to sort it out, to tease it out. Because they didn't. Did they have a connection? Or was it everything that he represented to her?
I think it's both. I mean, because I think that they did. Well, they obviously they had a connection when they were young. And every time they come back together, there is a connection. But it's also based on nostalgia as well. And kind of where they both came from and, you know, their culture and all of that.
So do you believe in fate or choice when it comes to love?
Well, I'm kind of believing in both right now.
She's open to all possibilities. Yes. Well, no, I like to play this game in my head. The what if game. Like sometimes I'm like, would I have ever met the love of my life if this certain very specific thing didn't happen? No, I wouldn't. Like all of these, like, seemingly minuscule choices. Like if I hadn't have gone to that Matchbox 20 concert, I wouldn't have failed my organic chemistry test.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't failed my organic chemistry test, you know, and then this wouldn't have happened. Like I can spiral forever.
Yeah.
So like these minuscule little things that we do that we don't understand their impact 20 years down the line.
Yeah. Yes.
And so like it feels like there's so much fate hanging in the balance.
Well,
right? It does. Yeah.
Well,
so I can see that.
Look at me. There's things that happen that like, I
never in a million years would have chosen.
No, would not have. I mean, it's just, I'm a believer right now. I'll just say that.
She's a believer.
I'm a believer. I'll share someday. But
I still think that maybe fate can bring you, but you still have to choose to see love.
You have to
choose to make those whatever circumstances because, you know, sometimes it's not convenient.
Yeah.
And you still have to make choices.
Yes. Well, and
to invite that in or not.
Yes. I think you have to be open to seeing what's happening. Like,
so both.
So both. Right.
You do. You have to be open to that. I want to know if longing intensifies love. Because it's untested by reality.
Yes.
Sorry. You're saying 100% yes. She didn't do both.
No.
She didn't do
not being wishy-washy.
I 100,000,000% agree with that as well.
Yes.
Because I just feel like the most potent drug we have is our imagination.
Yes.
And if you've experienced something, you no longer need to imagine it. There's just nothing more potent than that.
Yeah.
And so no wonder why she felt so drawn to Haesung. Because she didn't really know. She'd never went down that path.
Yes.
Which is why it was so potent at the end. Because she knew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy to, I think, and we all do that, is let's say you meet somebody and you start projecting what that relationship is going to be like or what things are going to look like with that person. And then so if somebody, like, we'll just go with the whole ghosting thing, if somebody that you've been interested in or whatever ghosts you, it's so heartbreaking simply because you are living in a not a realistic world. You're living in a imaginary world with or relationship with this person.
But doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Like,
no.
Crazy. Because I believe the flip side of that, your imagination, is like we can truly grieve our what ifs. Like that grief can last a lifetime. And I think that's the other side to that too. Like your imagination is so potent, but knowing that you won't ever get to experience something you've dreamed of and hoped for and wished for, like that hurts.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's hard.
Almost, it's not reality, but it becomes kind of reality in your brain. So you have to mourn that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why, like, she was crying.
And it was sad for both of them because there was maybe a little of that.
Yeah.
Maybe for him more to a certain extent, longing and, imagination as to where she was at and what that was going to look like.
I mean, it was for 24 years. Imagining and hoping, and you know, he also had to let that go too.
Yeah, and I think she was sad because of that. Yeah. Like because she saw that and had to be the person that was like, I'm
Right. She had to make that choice.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Several times she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she didn't connect with him or didn't care for him.
Yeah.
It was just there. It wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
Or circumstance, you know?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it's a beautiful movie. Yeah. It was such a poignant story.
What did you say? Pungent?
There it is.
I got it. Did it right this time.
Pungent story. Poignant.
I love it. Thank you.
Got it. Came out of nowhere. Oh my God. I love it. So what do you think? Was it realistic that Arthur and Nora would have met and gotten together? I think what we didn't talk a lot about is just the immigrant story a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And Arthur did point it out, like, well, our love story is not all that great. Like, compared to, you know, childhood sweethearts, long lost, that have reconnected over oceans. Like, what's our story?
Yeah, we just met an artist retreat.
Yes.
Had sex, then, like, moved in together.
Yeah, we got married because you need a green card.
And here we are. It was lovely.
It was.
They had a lovely romantic story, too.
And they deeply cared for each other. And they supported each other, and they helped each other grow. And he didn't try to hold her back from who she was. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that their connection was amazing.
I did too. Yeah.
I thought they were wonderful mm-hmm. together. So totally realistic. Nora and Haesung? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And it actually happened.
Yes.
Yes. This is very, such a real movie. How do I think, what's the longevity of Arthur and Nora?
I mean, it could be forever. I mean, that's the cliffhanger, right?
This is a hard one to say because you're hanging that cliff on a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
And who knows how potent that what if is? Will that, like, the pungency overtake her drive to, like, get that Tony and be with a man who's going to support her and champion her to that? Or is it going to get too strong?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that pull?
That's the cliffhanger of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ugh. I mean, that's hard.
It is hard. I think that's.
I can't even guess it. I could think about it for a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the.
Yeah.
What is so. This movie just leaves you thinking mm-hmm. about it because there's
right. I normally can make my mind up about this. I don't think I can. I can't even begin.
What is the word? It leaves you just very
longing
and sort
remorseful?
Of
remorseful. I don't know.
What? I keep wanting to say ghostly. That is not the word.
Ghostly.
It leaves you ghostly feeling.
Forlorn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just melancholy. It's just a very. Yeah.
But beautiful.
Yes. Yes. So it is definitely one of those movies that you will think about afterwards because it leaves an impression on you and in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I would recommend this movie to just anyone.
I think I would recommend it. I think you need to be, I know it's not rated R.
No, I can't imagine.
Because there was like a little smooch and that was it.
But no language
still
or anything.
I think that to really fully comprehend this movie, you probably need to have a fully developed frontal cortex. I'm just saying.
So those young men.
25 and up, 20. Probably. You're not going to get it.
Maybe. There could be some sense.
There could be a few.
There.
Yeah. Not that it's like an adult film, but I just think like, got to have a little bit of experience under your belt to really understand the full gravity of it.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe.
But it could also be a movie that a young person that hasn't really felt or thought about those emotions, it might make them think and curious. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe.
Does this movie matter?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It mattered to me.
It shows that human condition that we all struggle with in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
Like, it was well done.
I think so, too.
But it's a green pepper. So if you're looking for steam.
No.
It's not steam, but.
If you want to cry, yes, you will cry.
Right. And if you want to just appreciate life, I just think, and its complexity.
And it was a beautifully filmed movie, too. It's just, there's a lot of wonderful things about it.
The writing was incredible.
Yeah.
Good job, Celine.
Yes.
You did. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for choosing it.
I didn't choose it.
You didn't choose it?
No. Who chose it?
I don't.
I don't think Valerie did.
We collectively cosmically chose it together.
All right. I was wondering that. I'm like, I thought you chose it.
I think I did mention it. I mentioned it. I was like, I've really wanted to watch this movie, but there's subtitles.
Oh.
And so I don't know if I can handle it. But
maybe I said it'll be fine.
You did. And I was like, okay, I can handle the subtitles. And guess what? I handled it. And I'm so glad I did.
I feel like once you get in, like start watching a movie with subtitles, it just becomes not a, you don't think about it.
Okay, so
I don't.
Once in a while, what movie was it? It had Tiger in the title. A long time ago. Dancing Tiger.
Hidden Tiger.
Yes, Crouching Dragon.
Crouching Dragon.
We're going to get it. Hidden Tiger, Crouching Dragon.
Crouching Tiger.
Crouching. No, you know the one. Thing.
Dragon, Crouching
was
Tiger.
Was in subtitle. Okay. And I felt terrible because like, I felt like I lost a lot of the movie because there was a lot of action and I couldn't watch the action as much as I would have liked to because I was so focused on trying to understand and read the subtitles.
Oh, okay.
And I like, so it kind of was like, I would have enjoyed it more if I didn't have to do subtitles, which is stupid and frustrating and like, shame on me, but that's how I felt.
I remembered loving that movie.
I'm sure it was great, but I missed all the great.
I wonder if you watched it again.
Maybe. Maybe I'm better at multitasking my brain.
Maybe your frontal cortex was not.
It wasn't. I wasn't 25 yet.
I know.
You're right. Because it was before that that it came out.
Yeah.
I remember. But it was such a good movie. I'm going to go back and watch it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. That's another very sad one.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Sad, but all right.
Well, thank you guys for listening. And if you have any suggestions for us, send them our way. You can go to www.myperfectromance.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a writer and you've written a love story, we love talking about them.
Love those. We love if you have a romance story yourself about you and your partner.
Oh, we love those. Couple interviews.
We love those too.
You're just so like, girlfriends, what would you do in this scenario?
Yeah, I have this thing happening, or I have a friend that has this thing happening, and I...
Or maybe you're a dude and you just want a female's perspective.
We'll
give it to you.
I think there's a lot of dudes that need female perspective these days, so please...
And we are that perspective.
Like
hit us with your questions. And that's all for today.
All right. And we'll do XOXO for Valerie since she wasn't here.
Yes. Next time.
Next time.
Right. Bye.
All right. Bye.